You're listening to CLNS Media, powered by betonline.ag. Go to clnsmedia.com/roll. Use our promo code CLNS50 for 50% off your first deposit.
And we welcome you to the Celtics postgame show. Sorry for the slight delay there. Bobby Manning with you, Taylor McLeod tonight, working through the usual technical difficulties we suffer over here on good old Blog Talk Radio. Celtics win the night 108-87, and we'll be here with you as we do every night for the next 50 minutes after the Celtics win again, 6 straight wins, Gordon Hayward's back. There's no more question about that. As our good friend John Duke, host here on the Celtics postgame show, said on Twitter tonight, it's no longer a question of whether he's back. It's a question of whether he is one of the best players in the Eastern Conference in the league. It's early, but I don't think it's too early to start discussing that. Taylor's here to do it with me tonight. Hayward, man, who knew we'd be talking about this so soon? Not only is he the best player on the Celtics, he's looking like one of the best players in the entire NBA with his decision-making on the ball. It's phenomenal to see. It's great to see him be so decisive in a game like this. And where Kemba Walker was struggling early in his return to Charlotte, Hayward did everything the Celtics needed tonight. Passing, scoring, shooting, even a little bit of defense from him, Smart, and the rest really sealed up that second half here. Taylor, welcome. We're not together tonight, but together in spirit on the mic. Hayward, man, take it away.
Yeah, I mean, Gordon played a really nice game. He had 14 in the first quarter. And the thing about his that you didn't see last year is there's an entirely new level of control that he has. And he's getting to every spot he wants, whether scoring at the rim, shooting that mid-range jumper that he loves, or shooting his threes. He's getting to every spot he wants to, and he's knocking down a lot of the shots that he's taking. I mean, tonight he had a really efficient 20 points, 9-16 from the field. He pulled down 10 boards, finished as a plus 20, and that's to add to a season where he's averaging 7.5 boards, 4 assists on 56.5% from the field and 50% from three. He's playing really well, and Bob, like you said, he's the best player on the Celtics, and right now he's playing like one of the best players in the Eastern Conference.
We got your calls tonight here on the Celtics postgame show. If you want in on this 6-1 start, if you're on the bandwagon at this point, let us know. 347-215-7771 is your number. Bobby Manning, Taylor McLeod with you here. That Hornets team came in with 3 wins in a row, gutted out a nice West Coast road trip. And we get here. It's Kemba Walker's return to Charlotte. Great showing for him from the crowd. Clearly appreciate him as probably Charlotte's best player in franchise history. Even if we go back to those Hornets days, the original Hornets, who are now the New Orleans Pelicans, they had Alonzo Mourning. They had some good players back in the day here. Jelso will probably get mad at me for this, but I think Kemba Walker's probably the best between those two franchises entirely, not including Anthony Davis, of course, and Chris Paul had with the original Hornets. But I'm talking the Hornets in Charlotte, Kemba Walker, definitively one of their best players. Now, Taylor, you had some gripes with Walker early this season. Didn't get off to the hottest start. He sort of looked like he did in the preseason. He was off the ball, facilitating these wings with ball time, getting his where he could, but not taking games over the way we saw with Isaiah Thomas, with even Kyrie Irving, who we'll try to mention on a minimal basis tonight. Kemba, though, he gets those step back threes. He gets to the line a little bit. He struggles early. And you know what we're starting to see, Taylor, where I'm going to push back on some of your early criticisms of him? His bad games don't define the Celtics. This was not a great game from him. Got wrapped up a little bit by Charlotte's length on the exterior. He had that nice breakthrough split where he hit Hayward for a three early on. He was definitely facilitating at a high level, but not giving the Celtics a ton of points in this one. And it allows Hayward to get going the way he plays, puts the ball in Tatum's hands in transition, runs a nice transition attack himself, making secondary passes off Hayward's rebounding. Double-double for Hayward tonight. I don't know if we're going to see a spectacular season from Kemba. You know, he is averaging 20 points. It seems like a quiet 20 points from him so far. But when he struggles throughout stretches of these games, he does everything else that the team needs him to for not only the team to succeed, but all the wings to succeed as well.
You're absolutely right. And I'll push back on my own gripes that I had earlier in the season and say that I didn't quite grasp how selfless of a point guard he was. I thought that in a game like the we struggled shooting but kept shooting, I thought that's kind of how it would go. And obviously, I knew his shooting would come back and he'd start to score more and start to score more consistently, and he has. And that's, you know, quelled a lot of my concerns that I had with him through those, you know, first game and a half, two games. But the way that he, like you said, Bob, opens up all those wings to do what they're good at, and now that those wings all, you know, feel confident enough, are playing well enough to capitalize on those opportunities, I'm pretty much fine with whatever Kemba's doing on the floor, because you're seeing that's playing such different basketball than they did last year. And I think a lot of it comes from the fact that Kemba doesn't need to take all the shots. He will if he has to, but he doesn't need to take all those shots. Whereas last year you had some situations where Kyrie needs a lot of shots, or even that Kyrie Al Horford pick and roll, you have to, because that's your bread and butter. Kemba can play more of the spread out space game where it's kind of more improvising, and you have good, young, talented players who that probably suits their game a little bit better. And you see it opening things up for someone like Gordon Hayward, who does like to operate in the space within the 3-point line, softer spots, and shoot that mid-range jumper. So the concerns I had earlier in the season are pretty much gone through, you know, 7 or 8 games. So I'm really liking what I see from Kemba.
He's getting on the ball, which is what we talked about in the preseason. He almost felt like the Celtics' primary ball handler for a lot of this game. They were moving so fast in this game, too, that they didn't have to run so many half-court sets. When they did, I thought Marcus Smart did a nice job stepping up in that regard. He had 5 assists in this one. Was able to get some steals to push the Celtics' transition attack, too. It was a collectively great ball handling effort in this one. We'll talk about Tatum later in the show, but I love what he was able to do in transition, creating for himself in that sense. We also got Jaylen Brown playing off the ball a ton in this one with cuts. A sensational return from him, all things considered. I love what this team's doing from the perspective of they have 3 guys going every night. Kemba ends up with 14, Tatum with 23, Hayward with 20. And then whatever you get from Brown's a bonus at that point with 12. That alone gets you to the league average. Now, we'll see what Tice is ultimately able to contribute in support of them. Williams had a solid night hitting both of his shots. Celtics still haven't gotten that 6-man backup point guard, bench scorer, whatever you want to call it, that, you know, 5th scorer to put them into the 110s, 120s. Because they scored 108 tonight, Taylor. That feels pretty good.
Yeah,
How about this? Let me throw this at you real quick. 108 points sounds like a lot. The Hornets average 108 points, and it's 25th in the league this year.
Yeah, no, I think you're right. And I think ultimately, not in a game like tonight, because I think the Celtics got up big early. Charlotte made a run to kind of cut the lead to, I think he was cut it to 3. But then the Celtics had it back in double digits within no time and really kept it almost close to 20 for the entire second half. So I don't think you saw their best scoring effort tonight. The thing is, I'd like to get that scoring off the bench. Said that 6th man, that point guard scorer, doesn't necessarily have to be point guard, but that position that you're talking about. The thing is, if they can stagger these I think that you have enough scoring coming in waves. There was a point tonight where Kemba Walker, even though he was struggling, he walks off the floor So that's taking Celtics probably best pure scorer at this point off the floor. And Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown walk straight back on. So defenses have to account for that, really figure out how to stagger these rotations to keep at least, you know, two of your top four being Tatum, Brown, Walker, and Hayward on the floor. I think if you can keep two of those guys on the floor, you have a shot to at least have a couple guys who can manufacture some points and get their own shot whenever they need it, especially if he's a good facilitator and is obviously willing to shoot his shot when he wants to.
Well, take your calls whenever you want. This is the Celtics postgame show presented by HelloFresh, and HelloFresh has one of the best meal packages out there. There's a lot of them. HelloFresh stands out above them all, and let me tell you that when you're living a stressful life, you're going morning to night, you have games nighttime, you got school in the day, you need something like HelloFresh to get you through with your dinner. It is America's number one meal kit with easy seasonal recipes. Simple, delicious, flexible, all those things describe HelloFresh. Who's offering you through CLNS Media $80 off your first month when you try HelloFresh. Go to HelloFresh.com/CLNS80 and type in CLNS80. Home cooked, delicious meals at your door in just about 30 minutes every night. You can prepare them. It's that flair of getting the meal done yourself that I love so much. Taylor, you know me. Every night I'm in the kitchen doing my thing. Well, most nights.
I know.
But some nights I'm off. You know, the Syracuse played last night. I had to get to the dome by 7 o'clock. HelloFresh lands in my kitchen and gives me the ingredients I need to make it happen so I don't have to be chopping them up and all that stuff. $80 off your first month. That's CLNS 80. Let's get into Tatum tonight because I know you're just biting to talk about Tatum. He's been so good this year. After a rough start, couldn't finish at the rim to start this season. He couldn't find his spot on the floor. We've talked about it with Hayward. You said earlier in the show, he's finding his space on the floor. That's what I thought Hayward wasn't doing earlier this year. Now, since we talked last, he's hit a game winner. He's been steadily scoring 20 points, one of three 20 per game scorers on the team. And tonight again, smoothly floating by his defenders to the rim, hitting threes in transition. Still don't know if he knows exactly where he's going to get his points every single night, but he's doing it at a consistent enough rate, shooting the ball sensationally to start this year, 4 from 3 to start this one, getting his free throw in a little bit too, bringing the rebounding up. You know what I love about him? He notices what isn't working and then adjusts. You know, the Bucks game, he was getting into the post, and then next night out, he turned it around and was looking for the work to him. What's it going to take for Tatum to find consistency this year, you think?
I think once the game really slows down and comes back to him, I think his rookie year he played better than, you know, we all expected. And last year I thought was a fine year. A lot of people acted like it was a down year, but the guy was 20 years old, still averaging, you know, like almost, 16, 17. I didn't have a problem with last year. At the beginning of this season, you know, the first two or three games, I thought Tatum was actually finding his spots okay. He just wasn't, you know, finishing out of those spots very well. And I think it was he was getting to his spots a little easier than he thought or easier than he had in the past. This year, what I'm seeing a lot is he's getting to those spots and he's really, really either like shooting that jumper with confidence, whether it's mid-range, the off the dribble, off the screen threes, or getting to the rim. Every game, there's more and more confidence. And tonight, he, 23 points, 8 of 17 from the field. He hits 4 of 6 threes, which I obviously love to see. And he pulls down 9 boards. And that's like I did with Hayward. I mean, putting that night on top of a season where he's already averaging 21.7.5 boards, 2 assists, a 42% from the field, and almost 43% from three. You're looking at a guy who, at 21 years old, is playing a very high level of basketball. And as I've said since the first show we did, I think he's going to be the best player on the team by the end of the season.
Oh, I love the sound of that. And it was great to see him get that game winner against the Knicks. That was a game that the Celtics were not themselves in. They've been dealing with injuries of late. And a guy like him has helped place us all together. Brown missed the last three games with an illness. And Tatum stepped it up in that rebounding capacity. Very strong in that sense again here. The Celtics have been one of the better ball control teams in the league. We'll get to that later in the show. I thought someone on Twitter said something interesting when it came to the Celtics' turnover numbers. Because they've been getting by on great defense, I feel like, with these active centers and enough fast break and other turnover-type pushes, three-point shooting's an excellent two that get them by on offense. Overall, offensively, I don't think they've killed this to the degree that they can. And there's a couple of reasons for that that we'll get to. But Tatum is helping them in that regard. He's killing it from three. He's got that three-point stroke back. I think that'll ultimately really define who he is as an offensive player because he relies on it so much. His rookie year, he was brilliant, over 40%. And then it goes down to 36% last year. He has to find other ways to score, and it makes him a little bit less of an efficient player. Now he's swinging back the other way. He's getting to the free throw line. Those are the ways you want to score. Rim scoring is also very important too. And my big concern with him, Taylor, even with the recent success he's had, he's trying to avoid contact in there. He's leaning back a little bit sometimes as guys are flying into him. He still doesn't seem fully comfortable getting on the ball and driving to the rim unless he's blown by someone. And he did that a lot tonight, which is why he had such a big game, but it's not something he's always able to do.
No, I agree. I think a lot of it is a product of his just like physical length as a player. I mean, he has crazy long arms. He's shown time and time again that he can make a lot of those tougher layups where it doesn't even seem like he's near the rim. And all of a sudden with like a quick bend, you know, of his hip or whatever, his right hands were, you know, right up by the rim and he's landed in. So I think a lot of that, a lot of layups that he probably shouldn't have, you know, he shouldn't have made over the course of his career so far, he has made. And without having to fight through that contact, you know, just, you know, dealing with physical gifts to get the ball in the hoop. What we're going to need to see if he wants to take the leap from being the 21-point scorer to the 26, 27-point scorer is free throws. And I think you're right. I think he does avoid contact a little bit when he's going to the rim. But once he stops doing that, he's still young. This is still year three. He's still 21 years old. That comes with time. And once he starts, you're going to see his points per game jump up. And that could happen this year. This season's still very young. He talked about in the offseason wanting to get to the line more, wanting to shoot six free throws, at least six free throws a game. That's compared to, you know, between one and two for his career so far. So I think that Tatum knows exactly what he needs to do. It's just a matter of doing it on the court. But the thing is, every time he said he needs to get better at something, every time he said he's going to do something, he has so far. Especially, I mean, you're seeing it with the breaking those Kobe habits that we saw so much last year. He said he was going to concentrate on doing some other stuff, and we're seeing that. So if he says he's, you know, putting in an effort to get to the free throw line, I'll believe it when I see it, but I believe that it's coming.
All right, we got a new fresh sound here. I'm on the cell phone. Taylor McLeod's in the house tonight. We're both in your ears until 11:30 tonight. If you can't stay with us the whole way, we have an on-demand app that lets you get in the action that way. iTunes, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts. It's not only the Celtics post-game show, it's the Celtics post-game podcast every night after the game. We'll be integrating some video and stuff as our 10th season. We're very excited about it. And the Garden Report, all that stuff's over at the CLNS YouTube page, as you're used to. Our call line is brought to you by betonline.ag, where this season, there's a lot of interesting lines out there, Taylor. I want to throw this at you. Aaron Baines, we haven't gotten to talk about him a lot on the show this year. He's playing right now with Phoenix out in Phoenix against the Heat, a very tough team. They knocked off the 76ers, handing them their first loss of the year. Now the Heat, who are competing at the top of the conference with the Celtics, only have a 7-point lead after three out in Phoenix. We've made fun of the Suns so much on this show. We've given our friend Andrew Rubino a ton of crap out there, but they're killing it. I mean, my betting strategy at one point, not that I bet, but if I did bet, was always bet against the Suns. This year, they're looking like a great team to bet on. Underdogs at home. If you want to do it, betonline.ag is your place. And we're going to help you out with it, getting started over there. You want to go to betonline.ag and place a wager? Well, we are going to give you 50% on your first deposit. CLNS50 is the code. Go make a deposit over there. Use the code CLNS50. You will get 50% on top of whatever you put in. Football, we got Thursday night game tonight. More games on Sunday. Hockey, basketball every night. College basketball is back, Taylor. We won't talk about what happened last night. But whatever you want to throw a wager on, betonline.ag is your place, and they support our call lines. Aaron Baines, Taylor. Whew. 20-point-per-game scorer. Where'd that come from?
I mean, I said it you know, in conversation with you a couple weeks ago, when the Celtics first signed Aaron Baines, I had no idea why. I didn't get it. I didn't understand why this slow guy who didn't seem to move a ton or leave the paint a ton, I didn't get why the Celtics, you know, were starting him on a team trying to compete in the 2017-2018 season. But after two or so games, I mean, my entire opinion of that guy flipped. And I was really disappointed when he left the team this summer. But it's nice to see him down there with a bunch of young guys really having an impact on how they're playing. And obviously their success level. Devin Booker is one of the best scorers in the league. I just looked it up. He's shooting 50-50-90 through seven games, which is just unreal. And to put Baines in a guy like Booker like that. Booker said so many times, I want to make the playoffs. I'm done not making the playoffs. And those are on some really bad teams that he said that, you know, I'm done missing the playoffs. You put that guy with a guy like Aaron Baines who knows how to win, who knows how to, you know, help create that culture, especially with some of the other pieces they've had down there. And, I mean, it's a cool situation. It's cool to watch. I know that a lot of Celtics fans have taken a huge interest in the Suns because of Aaron Baines. I'm watching him a little bit. It's nice to watch, and I'm glad he's having success.
There's an Aaron Baines fan page that's doing him justice.
Hilarious.
That situation is where so many people were sleeping on Aaron Baines in Boston and Detroit especially. He was just wasting away behind Andre Drummond and honestly had better splits there than Drummond did in his time there, which was a sign of what was to come. He's got 14 and 21 minutes tonight. He had that great run with Australia in the World Cup, really the face of that Australia team with his big beard and all of Australia, as Tommy told us about. He is just so much fun. And that account, as hyperbolic as it is, you need something like that to get a player like him his due. And tonight, it did its job on Twitter. Dave Dufour says Aaron Baines should start when DeAndre Ayton comes back. Ayton, of course, suspended for 25 games. Baines has been pouring it in so much, setting those screens, dribbling in the high post, shooting threes, that Dave Dufour thinks he should start over Ayton when Ayton returns from that suspension. Things are looking up in Phoenix. Wow. And I bet the Celtics team would love to have him, had to ship him out in that trade to get Grant Williams and some cap relief. But the Suns, making it work with Oubre, who was a dump, Baines, who was a dump, Saric, who was pretty much a dump in a trade for the Timberwolves to make a draft pick, and Ricky Rubio, who no one really wanted all that much this summer. Those four guys ran out around Booker. I mean, one of the best stories in the NBA to start this year.
Yeah, it's really cool. And, I mean, I think a lot of those players, especially we saw flashes from Oubre watching him play in the Eastern Conference, especially in that playoff series a couple years ago. We saw flashes knowing that Oubre is a good player, and obviously we saw Baines up close. So it's not like those guys are bad. Ricky Rubio is not a bad basketball player. He just wasn't very sought after. So I think when you put all those kind of guys who they're decent NBA players, but they just want to win, and you put them around a absolutely just incredible young talent like Devin Booker, things are looking up there. You're right.
All right, and there your bet tonight. We'll see if they can get back into it. BetOnline.ag. We'll get back to your Celtics, since I'm sure you're done with the Suns post-game show that hasn't ended yet. 516 is with us on the line. I don't know if you get thoughts on this game tonight. There were some interesting things about this game that I didn't mention, but some big picture reactions as the Celtics team starts 6-1. It is phenomenal to have this team back. It's about time we let things go like Irving, Rozier, Morris. They've become the big stories in all these early season matchups that the Celtics have had against them. The big one's coming later this month when Irving travels to Boston. But what's great is they put all that behind them. They haven't made any of it a story, and they're just killing it. I mean, Rozier wasted away 1 of 11 tonight. Kemba struggled too, but got going late. And none of those things are a story because this team is already starting to define itself within the first 7 games, when they couldn't even do an 82-plus last year. So 516, you're first tonight with the Celtics post-game show. What do you got for us? All right, seems like it's a listener. We have 818 here on the show.
Just listening.
All right, a couple of listeners. That means if you call 347-215-7771, you will be first on the line here. Taylor, I don't know where you want to go next. You got any big thoughts from this game? I have a couple here, but I'll let you get us started with our game conversation.
I'd like to talk a little bit about, I mentioned it earlier, but I really think that this team is benefiting immensely from more of a free-flowing situation where you're not getting into as many of the same half-court sets as you were last year. It's so fun watching Al Horford pick and rolls. It really is. And obviously, I want to stop talking about Al Horford and Kyrie all the time. But there's a comparison to be made. In for 4 years, we saw a lot of very set pick and roll with Al Horford because he's so good at it. You take him away and you add in, you know, some of these, you know, more agile bigs who aren't necessarily as traditional of a big as Al Horford is, and playing with a point guard like Kemba, there's a natural chemistry and flow to this offense right now where in transition and even in the half court, it just seems like there's always someone open or there's always someone cutting to the basket. And a lot of these guys are making the right pass. Tatum's been passing a lot better. Jalen Brown's been passing a lot better. And then guys like Kemba Smart and Hayward, who you expect to make those kind of passes, they're seeing those open cutters, those open, you know, shooters, and they're hitting them. So are you seeing the same thing, Bob, that the lack of set pick and roll, the lack of set stuff, and obviously they're still running set, they're still running plays. It's just not as boxed in as it looked last year.
Yeah, and there's a lot of opportunities for guys to get on the ball and make plays. I love that the wings seem to be in control of this offense as much as Kemba. Now, there's a big conversation to be had about the offensive ceiling because of that. I don't know how they're going to get Kemba going at the highest level. They did against the Knicks, and he had that 30-point game as well. So they've gotten him breaking out here, but it still doesn't feel like he's reached that old Charlotte self for him. Now, you seem to think it's going to be Tatum by the end of the year who's establishing himself in that role. I don't know if he's going to have all the tools he needs to be at that level every single night, but you love seeing the egalitarian offense again because anybody who's on any given night can get it and roll with it, and that's Ben Hayward so far. You know, he's getting to the rim. He's getting into that in-between area too. He hasn't killed it efficiency-wise from there, but when he gets to that spot, teams are moving up on him. And you know what's so cool to see? We're seeing it again and again. When he drives, reaches that in-between area, teams don't know where to go because we have shooters wide open on the wings, whether it be Tatum or Kemba, who are ready to catch that swing-out pass that he makes again and again. And those guys on the lower rung too, whether it be Williams, Tice, those guys who are drawing attention as well. I think Grant Williams has really done a great job in that regard, going underneath and catching those plays or at least drawing the coverage when Hayward comes. So Hayward has been a center of gravity and attention so much that he's getting guys points again and again. He burst the three assists so quickly in this game. I think he ended with six. So, you know, he's not lighting it up in that regard, but what he does on the ball moves the defense so much, and it's been awesome to see. I don't know about this team's offensive ceiling ultimately, going through those three guys. You know, they don't have a ton off the bench, but those three guys are doing so much right now that it's giving them what they need as they're a much better defensive team than we would have thought right out of the gate. Man, it's just so exciting to see Hayward playing at this level. Someone said this on Twitter as well. I got a lot of good things off there tonight. I'm not sure who to attribute this to. I think it might have been Danger Card, but Hayward's not only back, but is he better than ever before with what we're seeing from him right now in the boards, in the passing game, and even just in between and from the three-point line the way he's killing it overall?
I don't know if he's better than his peak in Utah. I think what you're seeing is you're seeing a much smarter basketball player. You're seeing a guy who had a full year to really learn the game as he was rehabbing again. And then last year was probably one of the hardest seasons of his life. And I assume he learned a ton about the game, a ton about himself, a ton about, you know, everything having to do with Celtics basketball, dealing with such a rough year. And now he has things figured out. He's still not an old guy. He's still, you know, in the prime of his athleticism. And he's an extremely talented basketball player. So, like, I think the biggest thing that I'm seeing is that he is playing hard. He's playing explosive. He's dynamic. But it's all within the pace he wants to play at. He's not trying to run with anyone else. He is in complete control. And when you have a guy, like you said, who, if he's in that high pick and roll with someone like Rob Williams, there's so many different things he can do because he can lull you to sleep right around the free throw line and then explode past you for the layup. He can throw the lob up to Rob Williams. He can pull up for the jumper. He can find space and get the jumper. Or he's going to swing it to either corner, either wing for a three. So I think you're right. Right now, Hayward is the best player on the team. my thing about Tatum is I just think Tatum is going to be a generational scorer. And maybe that's an overreaction. Maybe that's an exaggeration. It's just how I feel right now. But it's going to be one of those two guys. And I think that right now, in terms of beginning of the season, Hayward has an edge because he is a little bit smarter of a player at this point, which is to be expected. He's a vet, and Tatum's still a young guy. That does bring me to another point, though. I don't know if you watched the halftime show, Bob, but during the halftime show, they were talking about how Charlotte's a young team and how Boston's a young team. And Kenny Smith stopped the conversation and said, yes, but Boston's a young team that's experienced. And that really struck a chord with me because you're really seeing it when they do play these games, when your scoring distribution looks pretty nice, when you've got four guys in double digits and Kemba Walker can't carry the load to begin it. These guys have a lot of experience for being young players, like someone like Tatum, someone like Brown. Do you think that that's going to be a huge advantage for them as you get towards, as you're making that playoff push, Bob?
It is, because when they get there, they're going to be playing these guys consistently. Now, tonight, where they get up 20 points into the fourth quarter, the fourth became a wash. They were able to rotate Wanamaker, Javonte Green, those kind of guys in and get players some rest. I want to look at the minutes here if I can pull them up real quick. 28 for Tatum, only 19 for Tice. Walker plays 29, and Hayward's under 30 as well. So they got those guys a little rest in the fourth. And Smart's not playing nearly as much. Throughout the course of the year, the big question is going to be, can these young players on the roster sustain what the veterans on this roster are doing? We already have Enes Kanter down, and he's been down and out since opening night. So that's pulled Rob Williams into action. He's emerged in a great way. He's solidified himself as a rotation member on this team. But you have those moments. I saw you point it out, Taylor, as he collapses to the ground with the rebound and just lets it fly to half court. And Graham catches it in stride and nails the three. You know, I like what we're seeing from some of the rookies like him. Well, he's not a rookie, but this is essentially his rookie season with the minutes he's getting. Grant Williams. Positioning, rebounding, passing, all of that are great. He can't hit a shot to save his life right now, though. So those kind of things make you wonder when the depth of this team gets tested, whether it's through injuries or just the flow of the season as they need to get guys some rest, how does that impact things? You'd rather have your top three guys killing it at this level because come playoff time, that does define you. And this is such an open league where Tatum, Hayward, and Kemba might be a great enough big three to get to the NBA Finals. But sustaining it through the season, getting home court in the East, which is the position they're in right now, who emerges out of that bench group? I got to throw this at you, Taylor, because in the last two nights, this has emerged out of nowhere. The Celtics keep Javonte Green over Max Strus in a very surprise move to end the preseason. It looked like Strus had it, but Green's dunks, his athleticism, all of that, his efficiency especially, earned him that final spot. They keep tackling the two-way. The last two nights, Green's gotten some steady run, way more than Semi Ojeleye. So do we consider Green to be part of that bench rotation at this point? 12 points in 12 minutes tonight playing that fourth quarter.
The thing about Javonte Green, and you mentioned it with Grant Williams, is that these players, obviously Grant Williams and Javonte Green are on completely different levels in this, you know, as basketball players and just within the Celtics organization. We've seen it the last 2 years, how difficult it is when you have a lot of very, very talented basketball players, 1 through 15 on your roster, more like 1 through 12, but all guys who can handle the ball, get their own shot. So I think it's important to have a couple guys like Grant Williams who, even though he can't hit a shot, he's going to be in the right spot. He's going to make the right pass. He's going to play good defense. Someone like Javonte Green, that's energy off the bench. You have a Semi Ojeleye, same thing with energy off the bench. Obviously, Carson Edwards, a little bit different situation because he has the ball in his hands all the time, but he's still willing to do what he's supposed to win. So I don't know if it's anything that those guys are going to do specifically on the court, specifically as basketball players to impact the team outside of Grant Williams, because I do think that he has the biggest opportunity, the most real opportunity to have a real impact. It's just about guys playing their role and knowing their role. We heard it from Rozier last year that no one exactly knew their role, and even when guys thought they knew their role, they'd get to the game and everything would fall apart. It doesn't feel like that this year. And I think a lot of it has to do with they have four or five guys who are just role players, not role players who are taking, you know, a step back to be role players. They're actual role players.
Yeah, and we've seen Grant embrace that role like crazy. I'm losing track of the games at this point, especially with Syracuse starting up. But there was a game where he was playing in the second half, and he was just sprinting to his spots on the floor. He's a quick passer out of that position. He's been very selective with his shots. More than anything, he's been trying to get his three going, and it just is not there right now. But you got to say this about Grant Williams. He knows where others are on the floor. He's a very solid positional rebounder. Even though he doesn't pull a ton in, he's boxing guys out and clearing them out of there. And someone else mentioned this on Twitter. I got all the Twitter times tonight lined up. He's that hockey assister. He's going to find the guy who's in position to make the eventual assist. So nothing about Grant Williams' box score stands out because of that. But he's making impact plays, and he's doing enough to warrant minutes out there. The last few games, we've really seen Stevens' rotation shift from Wanamaker and Ogilvy being those first guys off the bench to Grant Williams being one of the steadier rotation guys. And Carson Edwards getting some run. Edwards just has had such a flat shot since the preseason ended, though, that he hasn't been able to make any real impact out there.
Yeah. I think the most interesting thing for me with Brad's rotations, not even just in terms of the bottom half of the team, I think you're right about Grant, and Brad Wanamaker, I think, is going to become pretty disposable. And as I've said to you on air and off air, I don't think Semi Ojeleye has gotten any better as a basketball player since his first year in the league. So I think that he's kind of a wash for me at this point. I think what we're talking about in terms of the top end scoring and maybe not having enough top end scoring is going to have to be resolved with rotations. So that's where it's important for these guys that we're talking about now to be solid in order to support the guys at the top who need to score the basketball, in order to have those rotations that work, in order for them to actually compete and score enough points to win games. I think their defense, like you said, is better than we thought. So you'll win a couple games like that, but it's so important for these role players to be able to, you know, fit the offense, fit the defense, and really support those top guys so that Brad can stagger the rotations and not have to have his starting five on the floor altogether if he wants a bucket. If you can get those guys really supporting your top four scorers, then you have a good shot. It's just about execution.
So the Celtics are at the top of the East through seven games. He took a second loss, I believe, and the Celtics handed the Bucks a second loss. So here we are, top of the East. Are you recalibrating expectations, Taylor? It's so early, but it looks so good. There's such a connection between these guys. You look at Marcus Smart tonight, the way he's getting in Miles Bridges' face after getting shoved down, how much energy he's showing, shouting left and right. It looks like the old Celtics, not just the amount of transition and with how in control Brad looks, as we've talked about again and again on the show so far here, but energy-wise, they just look so high. I have serious concerns about a couple different things. First, the bench scoring, as I've mentioned again and again, isn't there right now. Do they have a secondary point guard who can give them points off the bench? 108 isn't enough these days. It's crazy to say, but 108 against great teams is going to be a loss a lot of different nights. I mean, other questions I have, too, that center position. I love Tice. Hasn't been a very high-impact guy there so far. They're getting stuff from Williams off the bench, but there hasn't been a ginormous degree of impact there. Does Kanter solve that when he gets back? We'll see. They've gone small a ton this year, too. And then number three I have, Jaylen Brown, who returned tonight. How's he looking to you? How would you evaluate his season so far?
With the exception, the first game was iffy. Then he played extremely well the next couple games. Obviously misses three games because of his illness or infection or whatever it was tonight. And then tonight in his first game back, I thought he played well. 12 points, 5-9 shooting, hit both free throws, didn't hit a three, finishes a plus 13. His stats don't mean as much to me. His season stats don't mean as much to me because he did miss, you know, half the game so far. But I think if he's your fourth scorer, you're in really good shape because he's showing that with improved touch around the rim, improved ability to find his spots and shoot from those spots comfortably, he can give you 20 points tonight if you give him the opportunity. Obviously, you don't need every single person, 1 through 4, scoring 20 points a night. But if you need him to go get you a bucket, if you need him to go get you a couple buckets in a tough spot, at this point, I trust Jaylen Brown to at least get to the free throw line. Whether or not I trust him to knock down those free throws, I know he's going to get to the rim one way or the other. And at this point, I'm really believing in him to finish a lot of tough layups. He's really figuring out how to use his body, get through contact, but also use his length to finish around the rim with the right and left hand. And when he gets going with a full head of steam, especially on little cuts, if you hit him with those passes, he's almost always going to beat his defender and either get a dunk or a layup. So I love Jaylen Brown. Everybody knows that if you've heard the show. I think he's an incredible player. I think he's a plus-plus-plus defender, and he's showing that he's a capable offensive player. I know everybody wants to get so caught up in the Tatum-Brown thing, Brown's contract, you know, the top three scorers. The fact of the matter is that Jaylen Brown is an incredibly talented basketball player. He's the number three pick just a couple years ago. They gave him a ton of money for a reason. They expect a lot from him, and I think he's going to live up to the expectations.
I like what he did tonight. A lot of cutting, a lot of transition play. He's embracing this new transition offense, which is so well built for him. And that's what I love about this team especially, is that they're playing pace and space. Lots of threes, but they're getting on the move too after these stops, forcing turnovers. And they're the best team in the league at preventing turnovers too. Now, Max Carlin posed something interesting on Twitter today that actually did make me think a little bit. He said that, you know, we see the Celtics again and again, who have largely been an average offensive team under Brad Stevens. You know, they're usually middle of the pack in that sense. Their defense is usually one of the best in the league. But under Stevens, you know, they're right around 15th usually, and we're seeing that again this year. They keep the turnovers low, which is awesome in a traditional sense. You think, all right, they're not turning over a lot, they're taking good care of the ball, all the rest. But, you know, you do see these teams like Houston who turn over a ton, driving massive amount of points, getting to the top of the league in that offensive sense. You know, even Golden State weren't the kings of keeping it in control. You know, I don't think a Draymond Green is a very, you know, ball-safe player. Max seems to think that the way the Celtics are running their offense, you know, not a ton of pick and rolls, not a ton of dribble penetration all the time, you know, just the approach that they have offensively lends itself to keeping the turnovers low, but to keeping the, you know, possessions, points high, all that kind of stuff. Is there a trade-off there? You keep the turnovers low, you're also limiting your ceiling offensively. You see any correlation there?
I guess, and I've thought about that. I thought about that when I was talking about the free flow in the transition that I'm seeing from the Celtics. At the same time, though, I think Kemba Walker's a good enough point guard. I think Gordon Hayward's a good enough playmaker and a good enough player in general. And I think both that if they have to go half, they'll be fine. I really believe in that because I think that they have some gifted playmakers who can, you know, really do a lot of stuff with the ball in their hands in the pick and roll and even not in the pick and roll. So I think that they're capable of getting into the half court sets. They just haven't had to. I mean, we keep touching on the 108 points tonight. That's not going to be enough. They weren't even trying that entire fourth quarter. They would
That's
just get
true.
A couple buckets every now
one.
And then.
Yeah.
Every now and then to keep Charlotte, you know, within or, you know, almost 20 points down. So I think that they're a much more capable offensive team than people are giving them credit for. And once Tatum, I really, really do believe in Jason Tatum this season because he's getting to spots easier than he ever has. And once he starts finishing, you know, more than he's missing, it could get ugly for the rest of the league. I really do believe that. I really believe he can be a transformational scorer for this team.
Your hierarchy in terms of points per 100 possessions, Milwaukee at 112, Celtics follow the middle of the league at 107.7, and then the bottom end of that is the Magic at 96. Wow, the Magic stink, huh? That's surprising.
Yeah.
I thought Fultz had been playing well there. Yeah, so, you know, you're down to 100. You're at the bottom of the league. You're up at 112 into the top end of the league. They're falling right in the middle in that sense. Now, their net rating's great. I love how they're playing defensively. If we talk about defense, they're fourth in the league per 100 possessions. Only the Lakers. Wow, Lakers are best defense in the NBA, huh? Imagine that. We got the Lakers and Celtics killing it again. On defense, no less. So, there's going to be some tough teams in the East. Maybe able to grind up the East on defense, but I do think the Celtics, I don't know if there's a move out there to be made. I don't know if it's just going to take developing some of these younger players off the bench. I do think they need a point or two per 100 possessions more to really put themselves at an elite level right now. Because I don't know. How are you feeling about this start? 6-1, you can't complain about it at all. you get a win over the Bucks in there, which was wildly impressive. But they haven't played a ton. I mean, they've gotten the Knicks twice, right? The Hornets, the Cavaliers. It's been a fairly easy schedule for them so far.
I agree. It definitely has. But at the same point, there are people with major concerns about this team going into the season. So just seeing that they're capable of handling business consistently against good teams is really big. And they beat Toronto. They beat Milwaukee. And even though they weren't that competitive with Philly, I still think that they can do a couple things to at least use Philly's size against them for periods of games, maybe not whole games, because Philly's got two top 15 players on the team, and I don't know how many other NBA teams have that, can say that about their roster, but I feel fine about it. It's a really fun team. They're playing the right way, and it's not like they're doing anything that's that unsustainable. Gordon Hayward's playing well, but it's not like he's putting up 30 a game. He's putting up 20-something a game, low 20s. Tatum, low 20s. Kemba, around 20. Jaylen Brown just coming back. He's capable of putting up 20, but will probably settle in the mid-teens with great defense on the other end. None of this is unsustainable, and I've said that about other Celtics teams. But it's the truth. This one, they're not doing anything out of the ordinary. They're not playing above themselves. They're just doing what they have to, and as long as they continue to do what they have to, they're going to be in good shape.
I want to see where Hayward's really starting to establish himself in the hierarchy of the league. 32nd in points per game. In terms of the shooting efficiency, it's always tough with the centers falling around at the top, but he's above 50% in that sense. He's just been so great. Now, so far, leading the league, we got three 30-point guys, Lillard, Irving, Harden, and Tatum is up in that top hierarchy of point scorers as well. Hayward, 20 points a game, 56% from the field, 44% from three. I think the big difference with him, if we're comparing him to his old self, is the volume of threes aren't there yet. I mean, he was up at probably 5-6 a game toward the end of his Utah stint when he was at his scoring peak. But the rebounding has increased above where it used to be, and he's getting the opportunity to get 4 or 5 assists in this offense. You know, he's really taken on that Horford role almost. Like, he is that cheap secondary ball handler in the half court who has a little bit more size, and he is a tall dude. Don't understate that. This guy towers over people, 6'8", 6'9". He's able to use that to get in the space, score at the rim, and especially pass. He's a gifted passer. I know I pointed this out already, but one of my favorite things about him is when he gets into that middle range of the defense there, just jumps up and flips it out with two arms like that. That's really been his, like, iconic move through the start. And he's just impacting the game at every level where he didn't last year. I mean, in this game in particular, Taylor, what we saw from him that we didn't see last year is his ability to just go and aggressively find his shot, driving, getting on the ball quick after a rebound. He's either kicking it out or running in transition and looking for a three. He would be taking 2-3 shots in the span of 30 seconds in this one.
Yeah, you're right. And the day that we stopped talking about Hayward comparing him to another Celtics version of himself is the day that, you know, we'll know that he's all the way back. And I think he's all the way back now. Don't get me wrong. He is.
He is.
And I want to stop talking about it. I really think that once Kyrie comes back and plays in Boston, that's when all of the comparisons to last year probably start to really come to a halt. I think that's like the last milestone that you have to get out of the way before you can not talk about it at all. But being able to watch Hayward and not think anything about anything except how he's going to get his next bucket or how he's going to make his next play is big. And you're absolutely right. I mean, he's a really big guy. And Tatum, it looks like he's grown a little bit too. So you have a lot of legitimate size and a lot of very talented basketball players to go along with that size. And you ask me how I feel about the start, how I feel about this team, and I say I'm optimistic. I see I'm feeling good, but that's really the truth. I think this team is a good basketball team. I think Brad Stevens is a good coach, as he has been. And I don't really – they haven't given me any reason so far to not believe in what they're doing.
Yeah, and they have a good game plan, it feels like, for every opponent. Tailor-made matchup game. I'm interested to see how they integrate Cantor. It seemed like Cantor had a chance to play in this one, so we'll see if he's able to go on Saturday against the Spurs. Spurs have a little more size. LaMarcus Aldridge is probably a good matchup for him in a defensive sense. So that could be the place where he ends up getting back into the fold here. That's our show for tonight for the most part. Celtics win 108-87. Did you see, Taylor, when Kemba made the motion toward the Hornets locker room? I think it was one of the Celtics guys there who caught that on camera. It was halftime, and he was getting ready to turn toward the Celtics, the Hornets locker room at the old Spectrum Arena where he played for so long down there.
I didn't see that. That's pretty funny. The only other thing, did you see Marcus Smart clapping in Brad Stevens' face?
No.
Yeah.
Looks like we
Marcus,
got some videos to send each other after this one.
Marcus Smart wants Brad Stevens to challenge every call ever, and Brad doesn't. And Marcus was really clapping at Brad earlier, but Brad came out and said, hey, me and Marcus have been together a long time. I love him and trust him. He can do that because, you know, that's chemistry. Stuff like that really, really makes me feel pretty confident about this team moving forward.
And that shows you how even-keeled Brad is. If that win over Gonzaga with Butler where he didn't even react to the game winner, didn't say it, him coaching Marcus Smart for 6 years and never really breaking down too much at some of the lower moments that Smart provides says a lot about Stevens' even-keeledness. And you know what? Now that we're seeing this, says a lot about the team last year, too. I mean, it's early. We'll see where they go from here. But when you see the year before,